my Savior plead, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
I was driving one day out in the country alone, and I happened to pass by a small farm home. It was a little frame house with shingles on top, but something about it made me want to stop. So I pulled the car to the side of the road, right near a little field that had just been hoed. I walked up to the house and had paused again when a man stepped up and said, "Howdy, friend." So I told him my name, then hastened to say, "I don't mean to intrude, but something just made me want to stop here today." The old man smiled and said, "Won't you set a spell? The Lord sent you here because I've got a story to tell. You see, the Lord called my wife when we first built this home, and me and my boy stayed on here alone. We both worked hard and never complained. We battled the snow, the wind, and the rain. Then after supper, the close of the day, we'd take down the Bible and read and pray. It wasn't easy, but we made it some way, till the postman came with that letter one day. My boy had to leave me to answer his country's call. It seems I can almost see him as he stood there so tall. He said, 'Dad, don't worry, I'll be back one day. And I want to thank you because you taught me how to pray. And you know, Dad, I'm going to do the best that I can to preserve a way of life for folks like us, the common men.' Well, time rocked along, and I found I could still smile, for the Lord was good, and I'd get a letter once in a while. But, sir, my world went to pieces, and I couldn't even pray. When I read that, why, your son was killed in action today. I even said, 'Lord, I've had so little, and I've worked so hard to do my share. Now to take my only boy, well, it just doesn't seem fair.' Then suddenly there before me, it was as plain as it could be. My boy, the one I love, had knelt beside me with his hand upon my knee. He said, 'Dad, you disappoint me. I never thought your faith would wane. If you denounce our God and country, then I guess I died in vain. I know that you're lonely and it's hard to carry on, but Dad, you weren't the first to give your only son. And through the smoke of battle, I never felt alone, for I knew, Dad, that you were praying and wishing I were home. Just then, my friend, my eyes were opened and God came back in view. So God sent you, my brother, to tell my story to. So as I left that farmhouse, I prayed, 'Please, dear God, help us to understand the hope of America lies in our faith in God and the common man.'"
Oh,
just a closer walk with thee.
Just a closer walk with thee.
Granted, Jesus is my plea.
Just a closer walk with thee.
Daily walking goes to thee. Let it be, dear Lord. Let it be. Why am weak, but thou art strong? Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee.
Just a closer walk with thee.
Granted, Jesus is my plea.
Just a closer walk with thee.
Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arm. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arm.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies.
love my country. And as long as I live and breathe, I will continue to fight for the preservation of the United States of America as a free republic. But if I should lose in my battle, and our great nation ultimately is lost to the enemies of God and the enemies of freedom, I hope someone at least will build a memorial to the greatest nation the world has ever known. And on this memorial, I would propose that we engrave the following epitaph. Here lie the remains of the United States of America, born a free republic on July the 4th, 1776 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, delivered by the hands of patriots who so loved freedom that they dared to demand it, standing ready to sacrifice their fortunes and even their lives to ensure that freedom was established and preserved. The infant republic was threatened from every quarter. Hostile forces coming by ship and by horseback tortured the infant country with cannon, arrow, and pen. But the infant continued to survive and grow and prosper, nurtured by the love of men and women now long forgotten who would not accept tyranny at any price. The young nation grew to adolescence, nourished by strong faith in God and the principles of private enterprise and private property rights. The century-old nation matured to become a giant among the nations of the world. Many were envious of the wealth and prosperity of the relatively young republic, while Americans sang songs about spacious skies, amber waves of grain, and fruited plains. Nations without America's degree of freedom cried out for food to feed their starving and flocked to the shores of the one nation which promised every individual an opportunity to reach his full potential. The greedy came not with outstretched hands, but with clenched fists. But America, your country and mine, with unprecedented industrial muscles developed through the system of private enterprise and with an unyielding spirit born of a long life of freedom, turned back every aggressor and remained the greatest nation of all time. But then, with a full belly, weary of war and confident that the land and the hard-won freedom was secure, the giant went to sleep. The American people grew apathetic. They stored away their feelings of patriotism along with the flags that they once waved so proudly. America turned from God, grew self-righteous, and began playing God rather than praying to him as communism, drug addiction, and immorality ate away the moral and spiritual strength of the nation. When tyrants came to nudge the giant, your country and mine, nudged him with riots and anarchy, crime, wars, and threats of wars, the giant just mumbled an okay rather than wake up and fight. Faith in God was replaced by faith in man, faith in government, faith in political parties, and faith in the immortality of the United States of America. In his last moments, the giant, your country and mine, opened his eyes. In a last valiant effort, he tried to get to his feet, but he was kicked back down by the iron boot of tyranny. His last words were, "Don't give up hope. All we need is more dollars. Just a few more dollars. Just a few more dollars." May the greatest nation the world has ever known rest in peace. My friends, my fellow Americans, that's the end of the epitaph. The first part of it thrills me and excites me, for it tells us a story about the birth and the greatness and the growth and the progress of this wonderful nation. It's the latter part that concerns me and frightens me. For even though yet it has not been memorialized upon a memorial, the pages are being written as we see the crime and drug addiction and immorality sweeping this great nation. God forbid that it be the fate of our country, your country and mine. If it's to be otherwise, it will not be because of the anarchists, the bums, the sold-out politicians, and the criminals. It'll have to be because of good people like you who love America enough to say so and live so. My prayer and my plea is that your decision, like mine, will be for America, will be for freedom, will be for God.